The title I've given my message today is quite simple, really. Life in the Spirit, or life through the Spirit. Nonetheless, we are dealing with the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit, after He indwells us, that gives us the conviction, gives us the direction that we need. Thus we have life in the Spirit. Do you have life in the Spirit? Well, we'll soon find out. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to bring forth this message today that you've laid on my heart. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, and I ask that you would give me utterance, that the words that come from my lips, Lord, would be the words that come from your heart. Oh, Lord, it's my goal in life. It's my goal, Lord, to please you in the things that I say and the things that I do. And sometimes I trip up, Lord. But I know, Lord, that when I do fall, when I do trip, that I have an advocate with the Father, the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. I pray that those hearing this word today, Lord, will be encouraged, be lifted up. And, Lord, that there'll be questions answered in their minds that perhaps were bothering them all along, but they're just as easy to solve as your word is to understand, Lord. There are no discrepancies in your word. Thank you for it. Please bless this message now. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. In the Spirit. We are in the Spirit if we are in Christ. And the Spirit, of course, is in us. In us. I just love the book of Romans, you know. The book of Romans by the Apostle Paul. Oh, what a wonderful book. You could read it over and over and over again. And each time you do, you glean new truths. I don't mean that they weren't true before. I just mean that you didn't perhaps see them before. You see, that's why we should be in the Word. That's why we should study and read our Bible every day. Because we never get bored, because there's always something in there that, well, I didn't know that. Look at that, would you? Oh, yeah. You know, God arranged it that way. He didn't want us to be bored. You know, there are things that we take to memory, of course, but there are always new things that we discover when we open the Word of God. New things. And they're not contradictory things either. I don't mean that. Oh, I just love the Word of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, the gospel concerning his son, Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. You know what? I'd like to center our thoughts on Romans chapter 8, for this very special message that our great God has laid upon my heart. But first, Lord, I would ask that if you have something on your mind right now that's perhaps, you know, taking your thoughts off of this message, perhaps you don't have that solitude, perhaps you don't have that peace, that quietness, you know, that serenity that you need when you're dealing or listening to the Word of God. You know, I'm not talking, you know, that you need to be free from your family, you go into a separate room and you just shut them out all the time. I don't mean that, no. I just mean that you have that tranquility about you. And you can understand, you can hear. You can hear the Word of God speaking to your heart. That's what I'm talking about. The emphasis throughout this great chapter, Romans 8. You know, it's essentially about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that's why in the Spirit, you know. The Holy Spirit of God, of course, I'm talking about. The third person of the Trinity. And it really comes under the heading in the Scripture, at least in my Bible, in Romans 8. It comes under the heading, Life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. Well, you know, that's really what it's all about, because when you repent and believe and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ into your heart, well, that's when your life in the Spirit, I'm talking with the Spirit of God, of course, that's when your life in the Spirit really begins, because the Spirit, of course, comes and indwells you. Now, you know, a lot of churches today, and, you know, I could go on just picking at churches day after day after day. You know why? Not because I enjoy it. No, it's because churches change. You know, they change to suit people's wants, people's desires. You know, if you want to go to a church that has rock and roll music, well, there's lots of them out there now. But, you know, going to church is going to the house of God, the house of the Lord. It's where you listen to the word of God, you know, and you become more acquainted with Jesus Christ, your Savior. Of course, you sing these precious hymns that touch your heart and set the mood, but you don't go rocking in the aisles, and you don't need a lot of imagery around you, you know, light charades or anything like that. No, it's simply the Word of God and your heart open to it. That's what it is. That's essentially what it is. You know, God, or the Spirit of God, is actually at the very core of our salvation. Because if we truly are saved, as I mentioned earlier, then the Spirit of God indwells us. But if we only think we're saved, then that same Spirit of God will not indwell us, because God looks upon the heart and He knows. You might come out of church and say, "Wow, I'm saved. I am saved. I went to church. I heard the word of God, and I repented, and I believed, and I am saved." And then you go home, and the next day you're living your normal life, and someone says, "Are you a Christian?" "Of course I am. I went to church yesterday, and I got saved. I'm a Christian." "Are you really?" Well, you better examine yourself and make sure. I'm not saying you're not, but, you know, we all have to examine ourselves to be sure we're in the faith. In Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is mentioned a total of 18 times. 18 times. Also included are two other spirits, the spirit of bondage and our spirit, which, according to verse 16, heareth the witness with the Holy Spirit, or I should say, witnesses with the Holy Spirit, that we are the children of God. Our spirit witnesses with the Holy Spirit that we are the children of God, and they must agree. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, there's another person here. No, there's only three persons in the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But that other spirit I'm talking about is a spirit that indwells us before the Holy Spirit comes in and takes over completely. Now, and unless that spirit that really comes from the evil one, unless that spirit is eradicated, then there's no room for the Holy Spirit to indwell. You've got to push it aside. You've got to kick it out. You've got to pray it out, really, and let that Holy Spirit do His work. Yes, let the Holy Spirit do His work. For we are now, if we believe in the gospel and have repented, we are now the children of God. Now, how does it all come together, you ask? Well, if we look at chapter 8, verse 1, the answer is quite clear. The heading for this chapter, like I said, is titled Life in the Spirit, and it has this to say. Listen carefully now. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, that's the saved, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. It's important here to note that you can't serve God and mammon too. You can't serve two masters. Some of us serve many masters. Well, why is that, you say? Well, in today's vernacular, we can't have our cake and eat it too. You know what I'm saying there? Can you relate to that? We can't have our cake and eat it too. It's gone. We can't be indwelt by the Holy Spirit and serve Satan too. Otherwise, we'll hate one and love the other. The question is, which one will you hate? Which one will you love? Well, that's shown by the way you behave yourself, the way you carry yourself, the way you pay attention to the things of the Bible, the way you pray, your prayer life, your church life, your spiritual life in total. That's what tells you that. We know who the Holy Spirit is. He's the third person of the Trinity. Now, the other two being God, and God the Father, that is, and God the Son. These are the three that make up the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, just because the Holy Spirit is the last one mentioned doesn't mean that he's not equal with the first one mentioned, which is God the Father, or with God the Son. All three are actually one, but they have three different vocations, if you will, or three different ministries, but they all come together in agreement. You see, God the Father remained in glory, but he sent his only begotten Son to this earth so that we would have the great remission of sins that we so need in order to enter into his presence. He had a chore to do, and that was at Calvary. And of course, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, well, his mission is just as vital as the others, because he's the one who indwells you and gives you direction, gives you peace, gives you strength and power to persevere when persecution comes your way. Oh, yes. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's then that we pass, I get this, when we receive Jesus, we then pass from death unto life. That's a new life, right? By the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Unto the day when we will be taken out, when we will be totally in the heavens. All right? Actually, once we're saved, we're seated already in the heavenlies, but our bodies are still here, and we have to take care of that matter first, okay? Thus we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, if you're totally committed to Christ, you don't walk after the flesh anymore. I'm not saying now that you don't make mistakes, you don't have problems. Of course you do. While you're in this old flesh, you're going to have problems. You're going to deal with uncertainties. You're going to deal with, is it or isn't it? You know, you're going to have all this still bothering you. But we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus. He's the one who went and paid for all these sins, if you will, that so fully encompass us, that plague us day after day, that make us wonder, well, are we really saved? Are we really saved? Well, let your heart be at ease. If you have repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are saved, and it's something you cannot lose. You can never lose that. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Well, it is easy. It's easy. You know, getting saved is probably the easiest thing that could be. Some might say it's as easy as falling off that proverbial log. Well, we can thank Christ for this. You know, the easy part is getting saved. the difficulty comes through persecution after we're saved. And the old devil, he just wants us to be plagued with all kinds of doubts. You ain't saved. You wouldn't have done that if you were saved. I mean, if you're saved, if you're under the blood of Jesus Christ, you wouldn't be doing those things. Well, bah on you, old devil. Yes, I am saved, and I'm saved eternally, and there's nothing you can do to deny me that salvation. It's as simple as that, and there's no two ways about it. So there, take that, get lost. You're already lost anyway, but get out of my sight. Get away from me. You know, you can put the boots to the devil anytime. Don't just sit back and say, well, I can't do anything because the devil's bothering me. He's right there. I know he's there somewhere. Well, tell him to get lost. Okay, he's already lost. Well, tell him to get out of here. Just tell him to get out of here. You don't have nothing to do with him. You believe in Jesus Christ. You don't believe in him at all. And anything he has to say to you or wants you to do, just get away from me. Leave me alone. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's not the way. There's no way you're going to have dominion in my life. No way at all. Now, if we look at verse 10, Romans 8, what we read is, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Have you got that? That's so important. A lot of people miss what that really indicates, what it really means. If Christ be in you, that means if you were saved, if you were saved, then the body is dead because of sin. You know, if you want me to put it a different way, I don't like to change the word of God, but what it really means, it's dead because of sin. It means it's dead to sin. It means you, any sin that you commit after you've given your life to Christ is covered by the blood. You don't have to worry about it, you know, getting you all in all kinds of trouble. Now, you might lose a few blessings here and there, but you are saved, eternally saved, and that sin, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit, now here it is, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Because when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt you, right? Of course. That's what happens. And the Spirit gives you life, new life, because of righteousness. What righteousness is that? The righteousness of Jesus Christ, of course. Nothing we could do could ever earn salvation. We have no righteousness on our own. Only through Christ. Only through Christ. The body is dead because of sin. The body is dead because of sin? But you still sin, you say, don't you? Well, perhaps not as great as before salvation. But remember, while we are still in our bodies, while we are still in this old flesh, that old sinful nature will continue to attack us relentlessly, time after time. It's here that we must remember, must keep this in mind. Because of what Christ did on that cross, we are under his blood, the blood that was shed for the sin of the whole world, the cleansing blood, and the power thereof, the same blood that allows us to have fellowship, sweet fellowship, with the Father. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That you can have a one-on-one conversation with God. Oh, there's so many people that don't. They don't because they don't know God. God knows our every trial. He knows our every trouble. He knows our every thought. He knows. He knows things are going to happen before they even happen. He's omniscient. God, how we must love God. God is so good to us, so good to us. Now, the blood that was shed for the sin of the whole world. Now, you can remember that. When Christ went to the cross, he didn't just die for you. He didn't shed his blood just for an elect few. No, he shed his blood for the whole world. Every person who is born, every person who will be born, every person who was born, he shed his blood for the whole world. You see, I'm talking about Muslims. I'm talking about, you know, every cult you can imagine upon this earth. He shed his blood. He shed his blood for all of us. But you see, the power of that shed blood cannot be activated until we repent and come and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let him be our Lord and Savior. Then is the power of the blood activated. The cleansing blood, the same blood that allows us to have sweet fellowship, not only with Christ, but with God the Father. Oh, the Word of God tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For, now get this, for we have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, adoption. Why does the Bible say adoption? Because when we get saved, we are adopted into the family of God. Now, you got to be careful here, you know. There's only one who's the Son of God, and that's Jesus Christ. We enter into his adoption, his family, through Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is only the only natural Son of God. Now, sometimes we get a little confused with that. But there's no need to be, because there's no reason for confusion. We who have received Christ as our Savior, we become a part of the adopted family of God. It's that simple. Now, take particular note. The reason I mention adoption is because so many churches, they get it wrong. They get it wrong by saying, once saved, we become sons and daughters of God. Okay? Now, as I just labored on briefly, to be scriptural, and I got to emphasize this again because it's so important. To be scriptural, we must be sure to insert adoption, through adoption. There is only one Son of God, the man Jesus Christ. Okay? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. If we're saved, we are the children of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. That's a small s on our spirit. The Holy Spirit has a big S, okay? But it bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then, if his children, also heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Wow. Isn't that something now? Oh. To be in the adoption of God the Father. Adoption. Hey, I got it. Have you? Aha. Now the second part of verse 17 goes on to finish that very thought. Now, let me start at the beginning again now. If saved, now, okay, the children of God, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then, if his children, also heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And the second part of verse 17 goes on to finish that thought. If so be that we suffer with him, with Jesus, that we may be also glorified together. Wow! Glorified together. Oh, how wonderful is that, I ask you. Now, this doesn't mean that we must suffer on the cross as he did, but through our persecution. Because we who believe, who are in the adoption, we will suffer persecution. And you know, that persecution is growing every day. It gets more and more so. But by holding fast, even though we'll be under persecution, we must hold fast to the truth of the gospel. telling others of his saving grace. Oh, yes. Don't forget that. Once you are filled with the Spirit of God, you know, it's got to flow out somewhere around you. So let it flow out on the people who need to hear about the gospel, who need to know Jesus Christ, who need the great salvation. Let it flow out. Let it come out your pores. Let it come out your mouth. Oh, yes. Don't try to contain it. The Holy Spirit will not be contained. The Holy Spirit is everywhere, omnipresent, as is God the Father and God the Son. Now, I know of what I speak, for my own persecution, I'm talking about my own, has been great. It has been great, not as great as those who have gone on before me, who have given up their bodies and have like been burned at the stake or have suffered great torture. No, not that great, but my own has been great in many different ways, or many ways to suffer persecution. I've lost jobs, I've lost job opportunities, I've lost job promotions simply by taking a stand for Jesus Christ. Now, before I gave myself over to Christ, I was an emerging playwright, a playwright with a promising future. I had a future in radio and TV and stage. But then, when I found Jesus, instead of following the world, I began following the Word of God. Oh, my conversion was rapid, it was. It was instantaneous. At one job, I was a car salesman. But after Christ came in, I became a car washer. And instead of listening to off-color jokes in the lunchroom, well, I spent my break time reading Spurgeon and the Holy Scriptures on the back lot, away from the crowd. Then God drew me into evangelism, and I spent 8 years preaching the Word of God at an old folks' home down in Nova Scotia. An old folks' home, 2 nights a week. My dear wife was by my side for most of that time. For 8 years, oh, what a joy it was. I wept with them. I prayed with them. I gave them the gospel. Now, many of them received graciously, for they, even though they were in their last years, they still had their minds, and they still needed to hear the gospel the way it was intended. Yes, there was persecution. The old devil tried to get me thrown out of there before my time was up. Oh, but it didn't work. That's another story. Lots of it. But all it did when I was persecuted was draw me closer and closer to God, to Jesus. I lost a lot of friends during those days, but I also gained a friend. A friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus Christ, my Savior. So what does verse 17 remind us? Well, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That's what it reminds us. We talked about it earlier. It doesn't get any better, folks. You know, God is God. God is the ultimate. God has his mind set. It will not ever be changed. Wouldn't you like to be able to say that too? Oh, I would. But as long as I'm in this old flesh, things are just go here, there, way up, down. But we have that advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus. Keep it open. Keep in constant communication. You know, there still exists that remnant. People who believe they can lose their salvation. I feel so sorry for them. Their joy in the Lord is without peace and continual assurance. John 6:37 tells us, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Have you got that? You are weak in your faith, who think you might be able to lose your salvation. John 6:37 from the King James 16:11. Read it over and over again. And let me read it one more time. All that the Father giveth me, as Jesus is talking there, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's us who believe. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, what's that mean? I will never cast you out. You will always be with me. You'll always be mine. Now, if you could lose your salvation, that makes Jesus a liar right there. Oh, my friends, Jesus is no liar. Let every man be a liar and let God be the truth. Oh, yes. He will in no way. I hope that comforts you in some way. How is it with you anyway? You say you gave your life to Christ, but it's been a struggle just hanging on. Well, you don't have to hang on, friend. All you have to do is believe. Believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep short accounts with God. Pray daily. Read your Bible daily. Communicate with God daily. You know, when you're walking down the street, and you know, when you're thinking about the things of God, and you see a person walking up the other side of the street, and you can't really get over to them, but you know, you can still pray for them. You can say, Lord, you see that person over there? You see that little old lady or that little old man with the cane? You see them over there? Lord, I don't know if they're saved or not, but Lord, I sure would appreciate it if you would speak to their heart right now. And that you draw them to your Son for salvation. You know, that's a prayer. That's a prayer that God loves to hear. Don't say, well, I can't go out anywhere. I can't talk to anybody. I can't cross the street. Or I can't run up that hill. Or I can't be over there. I can't be everywhere. No, God knows that. But he says to us, you know, pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray. Prayer has no limits. Prayer across the street. Prayer will go up that hill. Prayer will cross every barrier because prayer is God in action. Believe me. I want to thank you so much for giving me your time, for spending it with me as we went into God's Word. I pray that you found something here that will fill your heart with joy and promise. Because, you know, God's Word is truth. And you can't deny that. If you do, then you don't know God. So, I'm just asking and thanking you. And I ask that you would, when you go to my website to hear this message, as you would have to do most likely, no, not likely, maybe not, but if you want to visit my website, please go there. It's tillhecomes.net, Battle Site for Christ. And there's lots of good information there in the articles and through the sermons. There's over 260 sermons there. And also there's my testimony, if you want to read that. That should encourage you too. It's under resume. There's the headings at the top of the page. Like it says messages or sermons and articles, but it also says resume, R-E-S-U-M-E. I always call it resume. You can go there, hit on that, and scroll down until you see testimony. Read it. Let me know what you think about it. You know, you can leave a message there or you can contact me on Facebook. You know, I'd love to hear from you. I pray if you are having problems that you keep in constant contact with God. But make sure that you're saved. Make sure that you're saved, will you? Thank you for listening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.